letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. Beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. So in this introduction, Paul, in the beginning, says, I am an apostle. Apostle is one who is sent by God. In the New Testament, if you think about it, there really was no higher calling. And when it lists gifts, it's apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, etc., etc., etc. But apostleship is at the top in Christianity. Now, there are bishops and so on. Bishops are like the overseers of a church. But an apostle really is not just tied to any one church. Any one local church. An apostle is someone who God sends to they're making churches. Paul he converted people in regions where they'd never heard the gospel. And that was, the primary function of the apostles was to spread the gospel. I mean, the commission that Christ gave them, the so-called Great Commission, as people say, go ye unto all the world, making disciples of all men. The apostles really were the ones who carried that out. They are the spearhead of the Christian church as far as penetrating into new areas. But his apostleship, he declares not to be of men, neither by man. I suppose that in the idea of, because of or by is like through, and there's different Greek prepositions, through, dia means through, like, not that men didn't appoint him an apostle, nor did he come out from among men as chosen of men. He's sort of saying, not of nor by, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So he's not sent of men, neither chosen by men, but God who raised him from the dead and Jesus made him an apostle. And all the brethren, and truly, every gift comes from above. And men, see, the reason he says that is because men want to make themselves apostles, and they want to make themselves prophets, and they want to declare themselves to be teachers of God's word. They want to declare themselves to be all sorts of things. That's why we have people who call themselves apostles today. And whether they be apostles or not, I don't know, because I haven't heard most of them. But but a few I have heard, I don't think these were apostles, not of God, of men maybe, by men maybe, but not apostles according to Paul the Apostle. Not that there couldn't be, I sure hope. But in a sense, a lot of things in the church are looking for a restoration, in the true church at least. There's so much apostasy out there, it's hard to even really talk about it in a way that makes sense with the New Testament, because the New Testament is the story of the gospel going forth from nothing. And now we've lived at the end of 2,000 years of man's influence and religion and all these things. We have a history. I think to truly understand God's word, we have to strip those things away. It's good to know about those things, but I mean, we don't get our understanding from those things. Understanding needs to come from the original sources. And as far as I'm concerned, we try to make do as best we can with what we have from them. Maybe they don't answer every question we have. We have to go based on these principles. Well, let's continue. God who raised Christ from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Galatia being a region, many of, you know, this is written to not just one church, but to a group of churches. A lot of the epistles of Paul, like Ephesians, was written to the saints at Ephesus, which is an actual city. Galatians was a region. Verse 3 says that grace and peace from God the Father, you know, the benediction of giving grace, wishing grace to on the believer is, you know, standard in all Paul's epistles. But it's not to be overlooked. It's like the importance of grace to the salvation of the believer cannot be understated. Grace is what, you know, it's what gives us everything we need. It's what, it is, because grace is the favor which God shows towards man. Specifically, towards the men whom he has chosen according to the will of God. And what? Grace to you and peace from God our Father who gave himself for our sins, that... What is the purpose of Christ giving himself for our sins? That we could live a quiet... we might live a quiet life, but that we might... Well, let's see. He says here very simply that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So among all the things that Christ gave himself to forgive, to get our sins out of the way, one of the points of this was that he might deliver, which literally means ex ario. And I'm probably mispronouncing that for any Greek scholar out there. I'm not one. But it means to, in an active sense, to tear out. X is like the out. X, air. I mean, to tear out. Or in a figurative sense, to release or select. There's different, you know, voices of that. But it means to take out. Okay? He's going to take us out of this present evil world. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, we just studied 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He doesn't mean by means of the rapture, because we know in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that the Apostle Paul in 1st Thessalonians, I believe it was chapter 3, verse 3, said, what? That we are appointed to affliction. It is what of this world that we are supposed to be delivered from. Well, I rely on this a lot as so far, you know, it's, we will, you know, build on the foundation which we have learned, but let us not leave behind that which we have already established, correct? So in the second epistle of Peter, you remember we've been over this several times, but in 2 Peter chapter 1,